Today's daf is Pesachim daf Samach Dalid. Today's shiur again is sponsored by Jeremy Herskowitz and Lezecha Nishmas's grandfather, Mr. Marvin Herskowitz, Moshe Yehuda Ben Yosef Zichrono Levracha. Again, we thank Jeremy for the sponsorship today and throughout the week, and the neshama should have an aliyah. Today we are going to discuss three topics. It's the second to last daf of the fifth parak of Maseches Pesachim. First topic is we're going to begin with a stira between two brisos with regard to whether the isra of being shochet al chametz, of shechting a karban, when you have chametz, is violated when the kohen who's burning the fats is the guy who has chametz. Is that also included in the isra? And also whether when you do malika on a bird, by a bird karban in the Beis Hamikdash, they would not do shechita, they would do malika with the finger. The Medrash says that there are three things you do with the fingernail. You look at the Ner Havdalah with the fingernail, you do Priya and the Mila with the fingernail, and you do Malika in the Beis Hamikdash. Malika is the only one that's a mitzvah. The others are not. Well, Priya is a mitzvah also, but maybe not loved off with the fingernail. It's a whole separate discussion. But anyway, so whether the Kohen who's doing Malika with the fingernail also has to is included in the Isser of being someone who owns Chametz. So we're going to have a stira about those issues. And the second issue the Gemara is going to discuss is we're going to explain the opinions of both Tanaim in the Mishnah who apply the Isra of L'Sishcha L'Chametz Dam Zivchi to Karbonos other than a Karbon Pesach, and then the majority of the daf from the Mishnah before the wide lines until the end of the daf and through it into tomorrow's daf, we're going to describe in detail the process of bringing Karbon Pesach, what they would do, how it would work, and there are many halachic principles that we learn from the process of bringing a Karban Pesach. It's also a fascinating limud. So let's pick up from the first wide line on Daf Samach Gimel and Beis. Tanya Kavasid Rav Papa. We had mentioned yesterday at the end of the shir that Rav Papa holds the guy who is Maktir the Chelev also violates the Lo Saseh if he owns Chametz. You're not allowed to bring a Karban Pesach when you have Chametz. What does it mean to bring a Karban Pesach? Well, certainly it means if you're an owner of the Karban Pesach, if you're one of the B'nai Chabura, you're one of the people registered on the Karban Pesach. But even if not, even if you're just the Kohen who happens to be Maktir the Chelev, who happens to burn the fats of the Karban Pesach, and you own Chametz at the time you're doing that, that's also a violation of the Yisr according to Rav Papa. So Tanya Kavaseid Rav Papa, we have a Brisa that says just like Rav Papa. Brisa says as follows, Hashochet Es HaPesach Al Chametz Over Below Sasei, someone who shechts the Karban Pesach while he still owns Chametz, even if he doesn't happen to be one of the people registered on that Karban Pesach, he's in violation of the Lo Saseh Lo Sishcha Al Chametz. Emasai Bizman Shehu L'Shochet Ol L'Zorek Ol L'Echad Mibnei Chabura. That's if Chametz belongs to either the person shechting it, the person being Zorek the Dam, the one of the people registered on it, but Hayo L'Echad B'Sof HaOlam Ein Zakuk Lo. If some Jew somewhere owns Chametz, that's not going to be an Isser for everybody who's bringing this Karban Pesach, as long as that Jew has nothing to do with this Karban Pesach. Vechala shochet, vechala zorek, vechala maktir chayiv. But the Brisa goes on to say, not only is the guy who shechts it and the guy who throws the dam, but also the person who's maktir, the person who burns the chaylev, is also going to be chayiv if he owns chametz. Avla molik asa'ov bar ba'asar, eino over below klum. But if you do malika on a bird carbon on Erev Pesach, even though you still own chametz, that is not a violation of this iser. So, frankly, Gemara Raminhi, I'll ask you, Brisa, it says the exact opposite. In regards to Malika, it's going to say that it is a violation of the Yisr. In regards to Haktara, it's going to say that it's not a violation of the Yisr. An exact stira, Hashochet Es HaPesach Al HaChametz Over Below Saseh, someone who shechts a Karban Pesach while he still owns Chametz is in violation of a Lo Saseh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af HaTamid, that it's not only the Karban Pesach, even the Karban Talmud, we'll see why later. Amru Lo, so the Chum says Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Amru El BePesach Bulvad. No, it's only the Karban Pesach. If the guy shechting it, the guy being zorek, someone who's registered on the Karban Pesach, someone, one of those people owns chametz, that's when it's a problem. Somebody somewhere else owns chametz, not our problem. And here it changes. Whether you're the shochet, the zorek, or someone who's being molek and off, or someone who sprinkles the dam, ain't over below saseh, but if you just do kamitza and a kabar mincha while you happen to own chametz, that is not a lo saseh, and hamakdir se emurin ain't over below saseh. When you're the one that burns the emurin of the carbon, you're also not in violation of lo saseh. So the Gemara points out, kasha malika malika, kasha haktara, a haktara. It's a double stira. With regards to malika, the first brisa said that you are not included in the yisur, the second brisa said you are, and with regards to haktara, the first brisa says you are included in the yisur, the second brisa said you are not. So says Gemara, l'taymech tikshilachi gufa. Well, if you're going to ask that kasha, you could ask a better kasha. You could ask a stira within one of the brises itself, because the katani it says lo amruel b'pesach b'vad. Both brises started out by saying that it only applies to a carbon pesach. V'hadatani echra shochet v'echra zorik v'echad hamolek v'echra mazeh. But then the second brisa says not only if you're the guy who shechted or the guy who zorik, but also the guy who's molek. How in the world could you be molek a carbon pesach? You can't be. Malika is only on an oaf. Carbon pesach is a keves or gedi, so there's no way to be molek carbon pesach. There's no mazeh. Mazeh is by an oaf. So what are we talking about? How can you say that it's all, the whole isur only applies by carbon pesach? And then the very next line, talk about how the isur applies even when you're doing a malika, which is when they would hold the with one hand and push through with the fingernail in the back of the neck, so of a bird. So Ella Havaha Rabbi Shimon. So says the Gemara, we must be assuming both of the brises are assuming like Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, who holds that by other karbanos on Erev Pesach, you're going to be potter. That if you, but on Yantif, if you shecht other karbanos on Yantif, on Pesach itself, and you still own chametz, that's when you're going to be chayv. Meaning Rabbi Shimon makes this very important distinction. Does the isser of shechting while you still own chametz apply to other karbanos or only karban Pesach? Rabbi Shimon's answer depends. If it's Erev Pesach, it only applies to the carbon Pesach. If it's Pesach itself, then it applies to other carbonos. If you own chametz and you shecht the other carbonos on Pesach, certainly you're in violation of the Yisr according to Rabbi Shimon. So now all the kashas go away. Malika, Malika, lo kasha. The stira about Malika between the first price and the second price is not a kasha. Kan bar ba'asar, kan b'chalo shel moed. By Malika, we're obviously not dealing with the carbon Pesach. So on Erev Pesach, it's not going to be a violation. On chalo moed, it will be a violation to Avlo Shishchar al Chametz Am Zivchi. Vidi Vidi, Rabbi Shimoni, and both prices are going like Rabbi Shimon. Haktara, Haktara, Nami Lo Kasha. The stira about Haktara is also not a Kasha. Tanaihi, that's a machlokes, what Rabbi Shimon would hold. It's a machlokes Tanaim. These two stam brises are arguing within Rabbi Shimon. Do we consider the haktara like an avodas hadam, or do we not consider it to be like an avodas hadam? So that's a machlokes what Rabbi Shimon would hold. Dika de makish haktara l'shchita, v'kamandalo makish. One shita in Tanaim compares haktara to shchita, so it would be included in the isur. The other one does not compare haktara to shchita, so it would not be included. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af HaTamid. Rabbi Yehuda said that not only does this Isser of shechting or doing any of these things while you own chametz apply to a carbon Pesach, it also applies to the carbon Tamid. So my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Where does Rabbi Yehuda get the idea that it applies to a carbon Tamid? Amar Lach, because Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, Zivchi Zevach HaMiyuchadli. It says, Lo Sishchar Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. Don't shecht while you still own chametz, Dam Zivchi, the dam of my Zevach. What's the Zevach HaMiyuchadli, the Zevach that's designated for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning people don't eat it, only Hashem eats it? That's the carbon tamid, because the carbon tamid is a carbon ola, gets entirely burnt. Umaynihu tamid, right? That's the carbon tamid. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda gets this idea from. Now, l'chora, if the pasuk lo sishchar al chametz dam zivchi is talking about the carbon tamid, so then another question begs itself according to Rabbi Yehuda. Where does he know that you're not allowed to shecht when you own a carbon pesach? That you're not allowed to shecht a carbon pesach when you own chametz? If the whole pasuk is talking about zivchi, zevach hamiyuchadli, it's only talking about the carbon tamid, how does he know the din by carbon pesach? So one possible Teretz Fasemis points out, based on what we said yesterday, there isn't a single pasuk in the Torah that talks about lo sishchar al chametz dam zivchi. There are two pesukim in the Torah. There's the pasuk that in Parshas Mishpatim lo sizbach al chametz dam zivchi, and the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. So Rabbi Yehuda kedarshin zivchi by Parshas Mishpatim about the carbon tamid, and zivchi in Parshas Kisisa about the carbon pasach. Other Teirus in the Tzlach points out that the word zivchi, Rabbi Yehuda darshins, that somebody who even someone who shechts a carbon tamid when he owns chametz is chayiv, and then the raya that it applies to carbon pesach as well is the hemshich of the pasuk below yodin laboker zevach chag ha-pesach. So you see that the pasuk is talking about a Korban Pesach also, just from context. The Rabbi Yehuda is just darshaning Zivchi to mean that it's in addition to Korban Pesach, it also refers to a Korban Tamid. Rabbi Shimon Amar Pesach Barba says, then we had Rabbi Shimon's Shita, who distinguishes between Erev Pesach and Pesach itself. On Erev Pesach, the Yisr is only by the Korban Pesach. But when Yom Chametz, when you shech the Korban Pesach, not by other Korbanos. On Pesach itself, it applies to all Korbanos. So my time with Rabbi Shimon, Dichsiv Zivchi Zivchi Trei Zimni. Pasuk says Zivchi twice. You have Los Sishchar al Pesach Dam Zivchi and Los Sizbach al Pesach al Chametz, rather Dam Zivchi. So you have the word Zivchi appears twice. So Karibe Zevach Zvachai. So he has an interesting method of drasha. I'm not sure this is, I don't think there's any of the Yid Gimel Midos Shatar and Drasha's Ben, but we know there are more than, way more than 13 Midos Shatar and Drasha's Ben. There are dozens and dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of Midos Shatar and Drasha's Ben. The 13 are the primary ones, even though they don't all seem so primary either. They don't all come up all the time, but there are many, many Midos Shatar and Drasha's Ben. Gematria might be a Midos Shatar and Drasha's Ben. The Gemara in Nazir says, we learn Yihiyah, that's Tam Nazir, Sazam Adyom. So anyway, so one of the Midos Shatar and Drasha's Ben is you could take a letter out of one word and add it to another word and pretend that it appeared by the other word. So it says Zivchi each time with one yud, so you take it out, you take the yud from one place and turn that word to Zevach, put it in another place and it says Zvachai. So Lamai Hilchsa Palgin Rahman Me'adadi V'lo Kasav Zvachai. So why does the Torah do that and split it up and not just write it the way it means it? Lameimar, to tell us as follows. Bizmandi Ika Zevach Lamachayev Zvachai. When you have your Zevach, your Korban Pesach, then you're not going to be Chayev for all the other Korbanos, for only Chametz while you shecht all the other Korbanos. Bizmandi Leka Zevach, but when it's not the time of the Korban Pesach anymore, meaning it's no longer Erev Pesach, now it's already Pesach itself, mechayev as a chay, then you're going to be chayev on the rest of the kabanos, on only chametz for the rest of the kabanos. So that's how that's how Rabbi Shimon darshan. So apparently he patters shechting other kabanos on erev Pesach while owning chametz, because at the time that you bring the zevach refers to the korban Pesach, you're not chayev on zvachai. Tosos in Maseches Yuma raises the following kasha: why does Rabbi Shimon need a pasuk to darshan that if you shecht other korbanos on erev Pesach while owning chametz yipater, without the drasha you shouldn't be chayev because the korbanos are pasul? Why are the korbanos pasul? They're shechted after the korban tamid, and anything that's in a violation of the aseid hashlama. It meaning we're talking about doing things at the time of the korban Pesach. If you're shechting other korbanos at the time of the korban Pesach, which is after the korban tamid, they're pasul anyway because anything that's shechted after the korban tamid is going to be pasul. So says Tosos mikan yesh lochiach. We see from here that even though there's an aseid hashlama, the korban tamid is supposed to be the last thing shechted every day. If you shech something after the korban tamid, it's not a psul d'oraisa. It's only pasul midrabanan. On a d'oraisa level, it would still be kosher, and that's why Rabbi Shimon needs to darshan that if you own chametz, it's going to be pasul even on a d'oraisa level. That's how Tosos understands. Rabbi Kiva Eger is not so convinced by this at all. He doesn't understand the kasha of Tosfos. We're talking about when you shecht other karbanos at the time of Korban Pesach. When is the time of Korban Pesach? So Tosfos assumed, well, obviously it's after the Tamid, because that's when the Pesach is supposed to be brought, after the Tamid. Yeah, Lechadchila is supposed to be brought after the Tamid. But when is the Iker Zman of the Korban Pesach? Mechatzos Hayom Ve'elach. It's after Chatzos Hayom. Even before the Korban Tamid is brought, it's already the Zman of the Korban Pesach. So Yeager thinks there's no hechrich to say that it's only a psul d'rabanan when you shecht another Korban after the Korban Tamid. Now, that might be a psul d'araisa. This drasha that Rabbi Shimon is using is to teach if you shecht another korban after Chatzos Hayom, before the korban tamid, and you own chametz, that it's going to be pasul. So it says Gemara further now, b'moi l'shmo pater. So then Rabbi Shimon explained in the Mishnah that if you're shechting korban Pesach on Yontif, l'shem Pesach, and you own chametz, you can be pater because the korban is pasul anyway. L'shma shalom bismano is not going to be kosher, but shalom l'shmo you're going to be chayiv because when you shecht the korban Pesach l'shem korban shlamim on the rest of the year, so it's still kosher as a korban shlamim. So time of the shalom l'shmo. So it sounds like the only way you're going to be chayiv is if you do it shalom l'shmo. lishmo. But hastama, what if you don't do it l'shem shlamim? You just take your carbon pesach from erev pesach that you didn't shecht for some reason or another, and you shecht it on pesach without having anything in mind. Stama. So then, and your own chametz still, is that a violation? So the assumption is that you're pater. Amai pesach b'shayim osa shana shlamim havi. Isn't it automatically a carbon shlamim? Why should it be pater? It's a perfectly kosher carbon shlamim. So shamina pesach b'shayim osa shana b'yakira. Maybe we should say from here that we should see from here that when you shecht the carbon pesach throughout the rest of the year, you need to do something to actively be oker the shame carbon pesach. You need to declare that this is no longer a carbon pesach; rather, it's a carbon shlamim. Just having stam das is not good enough. So says Maram Chaya Bar Gamda, Nizrukam Pichabur Vamru, Gon Shoyu Bailim Timei Meis V'Nitchin the Pesach Sheni. The stami l'shem pesach chayin. Maybe for a normal situation, a regular guy shechts the carbon pesach the rest of the year. What's the case where you still have a carbon pesach around the rest of the year? It's you designate an animal for a carbon pesach, then it got lost, you found another animal, you brought something else as a carbon pesach, and then you found the original animal. So you have this extra animal lying around because you already were mekayim the mitzvah of carbon pesach. So in that case, you bring it the rest of the year, it's a carbon shlamim, no questions asked, you don't have to be oker, it's just automatically a carbon shlamim. But let's say you just never brought your carbon pesach, you were tamei meis, so you couldn't bring it, you designate an animal, then you have to become tamei meis. So now you didn't do the mitzvah of Karm Pesach yet. So then we still assume that it's stam l'shem Pesach koi, that it's gonna be brought l'shem Karm Pesach. That's the difference. So okay. The Gemara assumes Dafka Tamei Meis. The Mila Roim asks in the back of the Gemara, why Dafka Tamei Meis? Why don't you say that he was Tamei from some other sort of tumma? The Gemara is going to say later on that it's that even zav and a mitzora is nizchet to Pesach Sheni. It's lav dafka tamei meis, but tamei meis is the classic example. So that's the example the Torah gives. So it's not so strange that the Gemara would choose that example of tamei meis. Okay, now we have the Mishnah describes the procedure of how they would bring the carbon pesach. Says the Mishnah, ha-pesach nishchet. Maybe we'll read through the Mishnah and then we'll go back and discuss. Ha-pesach nishchet b'sholosh kitos. There were three groups of people, three sets of people that would bring the Korban Pesach. I mean, Klal Yisrael is divided into three groups. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, V'shachto so kol kahal adas Yisrael. That who should shecht the Korban Pesach? All of the Jewish people. You could say kol kahal, you could say kol adas, you could say kol Yisrael, but it says all three. Kahal, the Eda of Yisrael. So we see from there that it's got to be three groups. Nichnas Akas Rishona, first group comes into the Azara, Nismal Azara, they fill up the entire Azara, Nal Udlasas Azara, then they close the doors of the Azara once it's full, Taku, Rivataku, they blow the shofar, Hakwanim, Omdim Shuro, Shuro, Sbiyadeh, and Bezichai Kazu, Bezichai Zab. Kohanim are lined up in rows, and they're holding either silver kalim or gold kalim. Shura Shakula Kesav Kesav, Shura Shakula Zav Zahav. But a single row cannot be a mixture of gold and silver kalim. It had to be, if there were Kohanim in the row holding silver, they were all holding silver. Kohanim and they were holding gold, they were all holding gold. Loyim uravin, well, they weren't mixed together. Also, the bowls that they were holding that would hold the dam did not have a flat bottom because they didn't want them to be placed down. If they were ever placed down, they could sit there and congeal, and we didn't want that to happen. Shachet Yisrael, the Kibel Kohen, the Yisrael would do the Shechita, the Karban Pesach, and a Kohen would do the Kabbalah Sadam. Nosan lechaveru, then the Kohen would take the cup of dam that he just caught from the animal's neck and give it to another Kohen, v'chaver l'chaver would pass it to another Kohen, etc. U'mekabel ha-samali u'makser ha-sarekan. It was like an assembly line. They'd be passing the full cups of dam toward the mizbeach, and the empty cups after they already did the zrika were being passed back. So you would first receive the full cup and then pass back the empty cup. Kohen ha-karav etzal mizbeach zarko zrika achas k'neger yisod. And the last Kohen in the line, the one that was right next to the mizbeach, would do a single zrika across it right above the yisod of the mizbeach. Yatsa kas rishona v'nichlas kas shniya. So the first group would then leave after they were done, and the second group would enter. Yatsa shniya nichlas shlishis. When the second group was done, they would repeat with the third group, but only three groups. Kamaisa rishona kach maisa shniya v'shlishis. Everything we described about what they would do in the first group, they would do in the second group as well. Karuas halal. They then said halal im gam Amru Shanu, not then, but while they were doing it, they said Hallel. If they completed Hallel, they would repeat the Hallel, meaning if they were still involved in the Korban Pesach, by the time they finished the Hallel, so say it again, they would go for another round, Vim Shanu Shilshu, and if they finished Hallel twice in the time that it took them to do the Korban Pesach, start again. But it never got to that. They never said Hallel three times. They were always so zahir in getting it done, in finishing the Korban Pesach in time. It was either a very long Hallel, a very quick Korban, so they never got to three Hallels. And the third group, it was so few Karbanos in the third group that they never even got in the first time to the paragraph Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem, because there were so few people left in the third group. That's the great Shevach of Klal Yisrael, that everyone was so zariz, everyone pushed to be made sure to be on time and to be in one of the first two groups. People were not, there weren't too many people lagging behind in the third group. Kibaseo b'chol kach maseo b'Shabbos, same way they would do the Korban Pesach on a weekday, they would do it on Shabbos, so the Shukranim Adich Es Hazar Shalom Baratzon. But the Kohanim would clean out the Azara, and the Chacham were not happy about that. We'll discuss that tomorrow. Rabbi Yehuda says they would take a cup of blood from the mixed blood of all of the different Karbanos that was just on the Azara floor. Zarku Zrika Achaz Al Gabei Mizbeach, and they would do one Zrika on the Mizbeach from the mixture of all the blood. V'lo Hodu Lo Chacham. The Chacham didn't like that minog either. Ketzad Tolenu Mafshitin. How would they hang the dead carcasses to skin them? They would have these iron hooks on the walls and on pillars. They would hang the animals on those iron hooks while they would skin the animal. Obviously, there aren't enough iron hooks for all of Klal Yisrael, so anyone who didn't have a place to hang his animal and skin it, Makolos Dakim V'Chalakim Ayishan. They had these thin, flat boards that they Maniach Al Kisva V'Alkasim Chaver V'Tolam Nafshid. You'd stand across from your friend, and you'd have one end of the board on your shoulder, one end on his shoulder, and you'd hang the animal over the board, and that way they would, and then you would skin the animal that way, so your hands were free because it was on your shoulder, so you could skin the animal. Rav Lozer Omer Yud Dalit Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. If it was Shabbos, Maniach Yad Al Kasif Chaver V'Yad Chaver. Instead of using these boards, they would use their arms. They would have two people, again, standing across from each other, one person putting his arm on his friend's shoulder, and the other one putting his arm on his shoulder, and they would hang the animal over their outstretched arms, and they would have one free hand still to do the skinning of the animal. They would rip open the animal and take out the emurim of the animal, and they'd put it in a bowl, and they would burn the emurim on the mizbeach. The first group would go out and sit somewhere in Harabayis. The second group would sit in an area called the Chel, and the third group stayed put. Chashecha, once it became dark, this is on Shabbos where they all couldn't leave. Chashecha, once it became dark, Yatzu v'tzalas pischehen. They would go and they would roast their Korban Pesach because they couldn't do it on Shabbos. They would have to wait till after Shabbos, they would roast their Korban Pesach. That's when their Pesach is Chal on Shabbos. So a number of points over here in this Mishnah. So first of all, the Rambam writes that Im shachtu kulon bebasach has kosher. The Rambam in Hilchos Korban Pesach, Perek Aleph Halacha, Yud Aleph, that if they shecht the Korban Pesach, even though you're supposed to split up into three groups, if you do it all in one group, it's still going to be kosher. How does he know that? It doesn't say that. It says that they would split up into three groups, and we learn from Pasuk, Kahal, Eda, Yisrael, three groups. So how does the Rambam know that it's kosher? So the Tzlach points out very beautifully, and the Arsameach also, that there's a Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Mema Alfam Beis. The Gemara discusses what's the source for the concept of Shlichus. How do I know that Shlichus Shalom Kamoso, a very great Kiddush, that Shlichus Shalom Kamoso, I have a mitzvah to do. The Torah says I have to be mal my son, let's say. I have to do a bris milah my child, so I could hire a moel. Well, who says I could hire a moel and make him my shliach? I should have to do it myself. I should have to go to school for it or whatever, get and study how to do it and figure it out and do it myself. So the Gemara says one of the potential sources of Shluch Shalom Kamoso is the fact that the Torah says, Kol kahal adas Yisrael. So the Gemara asks, what, v'chi kol ha'kal shechtim? Does everybody shecht? No, one guy shechts and everybody else is yotzei. And everybody else in the group is yotzei with the shechita of one person. But it can't be every single person in Klal Yisrael shechts their own carbon pesach, because then there are no groups. Then everyone's just bringing their own carbon. So that's not how it works. Ela mikan shekol Yisrael yotzei mipesach echad. So says the Gemara, such an expression, all of Klal Yisrael could be yotzei with a single carbon pesach if it was the largest lamb on earth, meaning and it had enough for a kezias for everybody. So all of Klal Yisrael could be yotzei with a single carbon pesach. So says the Tzlach and the Sfasemes and the Arsameach rather. Wait, all of Klal Yisrael could be yotzei with carbon echad. What about the three groups? Don't you need kas rishon, kas shniyah, kas shlishis? Elamai, you see that it's not ma'akev, that technically one could be yotzei with the same pasuk from where we learned three groups is where the Gemara learns that everyone could be yotzei with the same carbon. The another makar for the Tzlach points out is Abaye is going to say later on that the Dlosos HaZara closed on their own. It was Biderech Nes that they closed, and they weren't Choshesh, so they relied on the Nes. That's going to be Abaye's Shita, is that when they would push their way in, and when the Azara decided there were enough people in there, the doors of the Azara closed on their own. But we didn't do anything. Well, how could we not do anything? If there was a requirement of three groups, shouldn't we have to see to it to make sure that we close the doors of the Azara to make sure that there are going to be three groups? How are we allowed to be Somech on a Nes for that? So it must be that, because it's not going to be Makin B'diavad anyway. And that's why we're allowed to be Somech on a Nes. Maybe that's where the Rambam gets it. But Pashtus is like the majority of the Achronim say, is that by Kachim there's rule of Shana Levakasav La'akev. Unless the Torah says something twice, then it's not Ma'akev, it's only a Din L'Chadchila. So Pashtus is that's why where the Rambam gets the idea that it's only a Din L'Chadchila and not a Din B'diavad. Another issue over here with the closing of the doors of the Azara, our Mishnah says that once the first group came in, so they would close the doors of the Azara. Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnayis, on our Mishnah says, wait a second, how are they allowed to close the doors of the Azara? The Gemara in Yuma says that the carbon shlamim that's shechted before the doors of the Heichal are opened are pasul, because it says, v'shachtu pesach ohel moed, that the shechit of the carbon only works when the ohel moed is pasuach, not when it's closed. And if there was they had some sort of Kabbalah, that carbon pesach is different, that the doors can be closed by the shechit of the carbon pesach, well then how come the Gemara says later on that if a person is not sure if he's chayiv to bring a carbon pesach, he should bring a carbon and make it tonight. That if he's chayiv to bring a carbon pesach, there should be a carbon pesach. And if he's not, then there should be a carbon shalom. The Gemara rejects it for other reasons, but tonight shouldn't work at all, because by carbon pesach, there would be this kabbalah that the dlosos have to be closed, and by the carbon shlamim, it dafka has to be open. We have a drasha that it has to be open. So it says the Tiferes Yisrael, it must be that when we said that they would close it, it didn't mean they would close it all the way. They'd leave it slightly ajar, but they would make the motion of closing it most of the way. Very difficult to read that into the Mishnah, and Nalos normally means that it's completely closed. So other Achronim are not sure what he's even asking. The Gemara in Yuma says that a Shlomim that's shechted before the Delosos HaHechel are opened is possible. What does that have to do with Delosos HaZara? Over here in Nalos Delosos HaZara, not the doors of the Hechel. So the whole Kasha is difficult to understand, but he asked the Kasha, a little bit strange that he would ask that Kasha. Okay, another point or two before we go on. The Mishnah also said the Kohanim would stand in rows and they would pass the bowls to each other. Each one would pass to the other. The Gemara is going to say the reason they did that is that the reason they didn't have just the Kohen who was Mekabalit himself be Zorik the Dam, walk over and be Zorik the Dam, is because of Brovam Hadras Melech. We try to get as many people involved as possible, and that's a wonderful thing to do. So the Rishonim asked, the Arzarua says, wait a second, the Maseches Tamid, we describe the procedure of the Karban Tamid in great detail. So Sechas Tamid and Daf Lamed and Beis, by the Shechita of the Karban Tamid, it says the Kohen who's Mekabel the Dam would himself bring it to the Mizbeach. Why by the Karban Tamid are we not interested in Brovam Hadras Melech? Only in the Karban Pesach we're interested in Brovam Hadras Melech. So he's Metarit that by the Karban Tamid there already were so many Kohanim. You read through Maseches Tamid, there was already so much involved in the Karban Tamid, so you already were Mekayim Brovam Hadras Melech, that there's no need to get more people involved. By the Karban Pesach, since it was each Karban Pesach only had a few people that would have been involved, if each person that was Mekabel would also be Zorik, so we want to get more people involved. This may come come to the gather of what Barav HaMahadras Melech is. There's machlokas in the Rishonim, exactly how many people do you need for Barav HaMahadras Melech? Or is there a number? Meaning, is it just do more? However many you have, you should have more. I mean, the Ozra seems to assume, no, at some point you just say, okay, it's enough. We have enough people. We don't need to keep on doing things to make sure there are more people involved, because look, there are so many people in Karban Tamid. Mishnah also mentioned that they would say Hallel while they were doing this. So this din of Hallel, is that a din d'Oraisa or a din d'Rabbanan? That seems to be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam in the first Shoresh of Sefer HaMitzvos doesn't like the fact that the Behag counted in his Tariq Mitzvos many Mitzvos to Rabbanan. The Behag in his number, in his 613 Mitzvos, counts Mitzvos like Ner Chanukah, Mikra Megillah, says the Rambam, Kriyas HaHalel. These are all Dinim to Rabbanan. How could the Behag count all these Mitzvos? We shouldn't count Mitzvos to Rabbanan. The Rambam, I think, was the first person to formulate rules when counting mitzvos. A lot of Rishonim and Gaonim counted mitzvos, came up with what the Taryag are, but it seemed it's very hard to figure out what rules, if any, they were working with, because there are thousands of mitzvos. How are you going to decide what the 613 are? The challenge of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos and the godless of it was that he made rules, and then he actually had to make sure that it still came out to 613, even when you follow all those rules, so it was remarkable. But the first rule that he really doesn't like that the Bahag did was the Bahag counted mitzvos to Rabbanan, and on the list of mitzvos to Rabbanan that he criticizes, how can you have Hallel? It doesn't say it in the Torah. That's clearly something that's a din d'Rabbanan. The Rambam writes that it can't be that it was a din d'Oraisa, that because who wrote Hallel? Hallel was written by David HaMelech, so it's too late for dinim d'Oraisa by the time David HaMelech was writing Hallel. So it can't be that it's a din d'Oraisa. The Ramban says, what kind of kash is that? Because David HaMelech wrote it. He says, Rambam, is tefillah d'Oraisa? You also hold tefillah d'Oraisa. Okay, maybe B'chol Yom versus Beis Tzara, but on some level, Tefillah is D'Oraisa. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah can't make up Dinim D'Oraisa, and they made up Tefillah. No, they put words to the Din D'Oraisa to be mispallel in some way. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah put particular words to the Tefillah. The same is true of Hallel, says the Ramban, that there is a general concept of saying Hallel, being Meshabech, Chodesh Baruch, Hallel, Meshabech, Hashem, and David HaMelech put the proper words to the Hallel. So, where's the source, though? Where's the pasuk that tells you have to say Hallel? So the Ramban writes, "Lama yispalei ala Hallel shenitztav leMoshe b'Sinai." Why would the Rambam have a problem with Hallel? Hallel's halacha leMoshe b'Sinai. That's how he understands it. There's also machlokes Rishonim. Who would say this Hallel when they were bringing the Karm Pesach? So I'm a Yisrael. I'm going to go. I'm going to shecht my Karm Pesach. I'll be in the Azor. The Kohanim will be doing various avodos after the Shechita. So who's the one that's saying the Hallel? Is it the Kohanim who are and the Yisraelim are involved, or is it the normal people who say Shira and the Karban, the Levim that are around? So that's a machlokes in the Rishonim. Rashi over says that the people of each group, there were three groups actually doing the Karban, they were the ones that said Hallel at the time of the Asiyas HaPesach. But Tosa says, no, the Levim would say the Hallel. The Brisker Rav explains the Shitas Rashi. He has a lot of kashas that he answers with this Yisod, but he says the Yisod is that they're at Tzvei Dinim. He says Rashi holds that not that the Levim wouldn't say Hallel, but that both the Yisraelim and the Levim would say Hallel. He said because there are Tzvei Dinim in the Hallel by the Karban Pesach. Number one, there's a din of Shir Shel Karban. That's by that the Levim always say by all Karbanos, including this one. That we learn Al Zivchei Shal Mechem, that it says by the Chatzotzos. So Karban Pesach should be no different. Also as a din of Shir Shal Karban, but then there's a din of Hallel B'Shas HaSiyas HaPesach, which is not a din of Shir Shal Karban. That's learned. The Gemara is going to say later on in Daf Sadi Hey that you can't have Yisrael Shochtem Es Pischeim and Notlem Es Lulavim Ve'enum Omrim Hallel. The Gemara is such an expression. How could it be that you're going to take your lulav, you're going to shecht your Karban Pesach, and you're not going to say Hallel? No, it's got to be that's part of the experience of saying Hallel. But that's a different din than the din of Shir Shal Karban. Okay, let's see some of the Gemara. So says the Gemara now. Yeah, we finished the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Eina Pesach Nishchat Ela Begimel Kitol Shel Shloshim Bnei Adam. So the Karban Pesach Shechted with three groups, 30 people minimum in each group. My time, why 30 people minimum in each group? Kahal, Ve'eda, V'Yisrael. So it says three expressions. Mesafkalan, Ibe Basachas, Ibe Zachazah. So we weren't sure. These three groups of Kahal, and Eda, and Yisrael, is that all at one time? Or is that all one after the other? So we're machmir in both directions. We make sure that we have three separate groups, one after the other, but we also make sure that in each group we have enough people to qualify as three groups together. So Hilkach Binan Sholosh Kitos Shol 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 Sh that's why we need three groups of 30 people each. If the Torah means it should all be at one time, so we have 30, so it's good. And if it means one after the other, we have three separate groups, so that's good too. Hilkach b'chamishanami, Sagan Gemara says, but if that's really the reason, then the truth is you only really need 50 people total. Da'ayli tlasin va'avdi, ayli asara v'nafki, v'nafki asara, ayli asara, v'nafki asara. You would have the first group with 30 people, that way, just in case, it all has to be at the same time. You're already yotze by having the first group of being 30, and in case you need them to be b'zeh achazeh, the next two groups only have to be 10 each, because you certainly don't need three groups of 30, you need at least one group of 30, and you need a total of three groups. So a total of 50 people would really do it. Nichnas akas rishon, we then said that the first group would come in and fill up the azara, and the doors of the azara were ninalu. The doors of the azara were closed or locked. Seit mar Abaye amar ninalu tanan. Abaye says, yeah, the way to read it is that they were locked, ninalu, on their own. Rava amar no alin tanan. That no, the Mishnah says we lock the doors, we close the doors. May benayu, what are they arguing about? Ika benayu lemismach anisa. They're arguing whether we're somech on a nes. Abaye amar ninalu tanan. Abaye says, let as many people in as can get in, and then we just wait until the nace happens and the door closes. Rava Amar Noalin Tanan. Rava says, no, it says Noalin, Velo Samchinan Anisa, and therefore we're not going to be Samech on the nace. Vahadit Tanan. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, and that which we have in a Mishnah in Masech Zidios, that Rabbi Yehuda talks about, the Mishnais and Edios talk about Akavya ben Mahalalel and various shitos that Akavya had, his relationship with his son and things that he told the son on his deathbed. And so one of the things says about Akavya ben Mahalalel is Chas v'Shalom Shakavya ben Mahalalel Nisnade. God forbid to say that Akavya ben Mahalalel was ever put in Cherim. It can't be She'ein Azarin Ninelis Al Kol Adam B'Yisrael B'Chachma B'Yir. Because we have a tradition in all the years of the Beis Hamikdash, the doors of the Azara never closed on anybody as chashuv as Akavya ben Ma'alalel. Meaning that's what they used to always say, that the doors are, that no one more chashuv than Akavya ben Ma'alalel ever had the doors closed on him. But apparently he was a very chashuv guy. So how could you say that they put such a tzaddik, such a holy tzaddik, that they used to say this about, that they put him in cherim? So how do you read that the doors wouldn't close on him? So Abaye matarz tamei, Rava matarz tamei. Abaye reads it the way he reads it, and Rav is going to read it the way he would read it. Abaye matarz tamei in ba'azar b'shosh ninala called them yisol b'chachma b'yir eschait ka'akavya ben ma'alalal, that Abaye would say that there was no one in the azar b'shosh sheninala when it closed on its own like Akavya ben Ma'alalel. He was the biggest Talmud Chacham, the biggest tzaddik that had ever closed on its own. Rava matarz tamei in ba'azar b'shosh shenoalin osa al kol yisol b'chachma b'yir eschait ka'akavya ben ma'alalal, that it wasn't about the doors closing on their own, but it was about us closing the doors when the Azara filled up, and it never happened to a better Jew than Kavi ben Ma'alalel. So the Marsha asked the Kasha, if you hold like Abaye, that it closed on its own, so we weren't sure whether the Kal Eid of Yisrael, whether it meant Gimel Kitos or a single Kito, why don't you let the doors decide? Just put people in and see when the doors close. Let the Nase decide if you're going to have. So the Tzach points out you can't determine Halacha that way. We're not Machri Halacha based on a Baskal, we're not Machri Halacha based on the Nes Loba Shemayim. It's all part of the concept of Loba Shemayim. Also, he says you can't bring a raya from the closing of the doors to be poshet this suffix, whether the Torah means that you should shecht it all b'kas achas or b'gimel kitos, because even if the pasuk meaning what's the marshas kasha? If the doors ever close before all of the Jewish people are in there, then obviously it's supposed to be in multiple groups. It's not supposed to be in one group. Maybe the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam is that people shouldn't kill each other, and all of Klal Yisrael can't fit in the Azara, but it's not a special din that you need Gimel Kitos. Maybe you should have 10 Kitos, maybe you should have 2 Kitos, meaning just because the door closes, maybe it's just based on crowd control. Can you really be medayik the fact that it happens to close 3 times, that there's a din of Gimel Kitos? That might just be, you can't be medayik anything. There are other explanations of why it might close. So anyway, that's the Marsha's Kasha. Also, that's on Abaye. Rava says that we're not Somech on Anes. So the Achronim are bothered by another Kasha. Is that true that we're not Somech on Anes? The Tos Yom HaKippurim, Mesechus Yuma, asks that there's a mission Pirkei Avos, that one of the Nisim that was done in the Beis HaMikdash was that a woman would never miscarry from smelling the sweet smells of the Basar Kodshim, that it wouldn't cause her to have a craving and then miscarry when the craving is not satisfied. That was one of the great Nisim. And the Gemara in Yuma says that an ubra shehiricha, if a woman gets a craving on Yom Kippur, you could feed her because it's sakonas nefashos. So Rashi says that they needed this nace so that we would never have to feed a woman basar kachim. But wait a second, even with this nace, shouldn't you have to feed her? You can't be somech on the nace. Meaning, if she says she has a craving, so you can be somech on the nace that that's not going to cause any problem, that's not going to cause any trouble. So that's the kasha that the Achronim ask on Shitas Rava. They also ask if according to Abaye that we're somech on the nace, on Shitas Abaye, according to Abaye that we're somech on the nace, the Mishnah at the very beginning of Yuma says that for the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, we prepare an extra wife for him just in case his wife would die. We're willing to be somech on the nace, we're not willing to be somech that his wife might survive the week, meaning to what extent do we say that we're willing? So that's also a kasha of the Achronim ask. Well, let's see, Vaita. Tan Rabbanan. Me'alam lo nesmaich adam ba'azar chutz mi pesach echad, shayi b'mehilash, nesmaich bo zakin echad, v'yikorin oso pesach mu'uchin. No one ever got crushed in the Azara except for one time. There was an old man that got crushed in the Azara, and they used to call that pesach mu'uchin, just to show how unusual it was, which is shocking, considering the fact that the amount of crowds that were there, and the kind of crowd control that was necessary. Tan Rabbanan. Pam achas bikesh agribus ha-melech li'tenein of v'uchluse Yisrael. One time Agrippus HaMelech wanted to see how many Jews there were. He wanted to get an idea of how many Jewish people there were. Amar le'el Kohen Gadol, tenei necha b'psachim. So he said to the Kohen Gadol, take a census by counting the Karbonos Pesach. Tenei necha b'psachim. So, he took a kidney from each carbon Pesach, and it turned out that they had 600,000 pairs of kidneys, 1.2 million kidneys. So that's how many different carbonos there were, and a carbon represents more than one person, the Gemara is about to point out. And not only that, there were plenty of people that were tame and were far away, couldn't bring carbon Pesach, and every carbon Pesach had at least 10 people on the carbon Pesach. So the numbers were amazing. And they would call that Pesach Pesach Mu'uvin. So Natal Kulia says more, wait a second, you're allowed to just take a kidney out of the Korban Pesach? Habayaktura, doesn't it need to be burnt with the other Emurin? So the Hadar Maktalahu. Yeah, then they took it back after they counted it and then they were makter it. Wait a second, the different parts of and fats of one carbon cannot be mixed with another carbon. You can't just burn a pile of 1.2 million kidneys all together. You can't burn them together. Now they burn them one at a time. That must have taken a while to burn one kidney at a time, 1.2 million kidneys. So no, but you're supposed to burn the entire carbon at one time. So how can you only burn, or the entire emurin at one time? How can you burn the kidneys separately? No, what they would do is they would hold up by each carbon, they would hold up the kidney, and there was a guy on the side with jelly beans or something. I don't know if jelly beans, but there was a guy on the side taking stones or something and putting it into a bag and corresponding to the kidneys. They didn't actually collect all of the kidneys. That would have been a bad idea. This is this idea of why don't they just count the Jews? So there's an Isra in the Torah that you're not allowed to count the Jews. It's Asur Limnos Yisrael, even for a Dvar Mitzvah, unless you use a Davar Acher, unless you use some other medium to count the Jews. The Gemara in Yuma learns that in Daf Chav Beis on Beis. Machlokas Amoraim, if someone counts the Jewish people without using some sort of medium, whether it's a violation of a single lav or it's a violation of two lavin in the Torah, but it's definitely a violation of something. That's the major shaila with the Israeli census, whether a Jewish government is allowed to conduct a census. Governments need to conduct a census in order to operate, in order to know what sort of services are needed. So, okay, there's a lot written on that. These bowls didn't have a flat bottom. So, Tan Rabban, Kol v'zichon shemim d'shloyel and all the bowls in the Mikdash didn't have a flat bottom, except for the spoons that carried the Levona on the side of the Lechem Apanim, because if they didn't have a flat bottom, the only way they would stay on the Shulchan is by leaning them against the Lechem Apanim, and we didn't want to do that because that could break the Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim were very carefully constructed. It was a miracle, one of the miracles that it didn't break as it was, that it was able to hold up the way it was made, but if you were to lean something on it, it wouldn't stand the chance. Shachet Yisrael v'kibel ha-Kohen. So the Yisrael would shecht the carbon, and then the Kohen would do the Kabbalah Sadam, etc. So lo sage delav Yisrael. Yisrael has to shecht the carbon. Well, a Kohen could also shecht the carbon, can he? So it doesn't matter. Higuva kamashlan. The shechita b'zar k'sheira. That's exactly the point the Mishnah is trying to make. That the shechita is kasher by Yisrael. V'kibel ha-Kohen. Hakamashlan mikabel ve'elach mitzvah kuna. And it says v'kibel ha-Kohen because from Kabbalah and on, the Kohen had to do it. No. Yosin L'Chaveru, Sham Minah, Halacha Shalom Beregel, Havi Halacha. Now, how would they get the blood from the Makom Shechita to the Mizbech? By passing it from one guy to the other. Not by walking. So you see that the Avoda of Halacha does not have to be done by actually moving your feet. So says Mara Dilma, Hu Nayid Porta. Now, maybe he would move his feet a little bit. Someone would shuffle their feet. The last guy in line would shuffle his feet a little bit so that they would be Mekayim Halacha. Velamai Kamash, once then, what's the Chiddush of passing from one to the other? If it's not teaching us a Chiddush La Halacha that you don't have to do Halacha Beregel, what's it teaching us? It's teaching us get as many people involved as you possibly can. Why does a chazan not do psicha? Why do we need someone else to do psicha and then hand the sefer Torah to the chazan? Chazan is not capable of opening the aron and taking the Torah out himself. So that's what the poskim point out. It's bravam hadras melech that we try to get many people involved in a mitzvah. So it's a fulfillment of bravam hadras melech. It's interesting. The Rambam in Hilchos Psulei Hamikdashin writes that halacha shelo beregel is not called halacha. That when you do halacha, it has to dafka be beregel. But in Hilchos Korban Pesach, when he describes Korban Pesach, he says shachar shochet v'kibul hakohen nosel l'chaver v'chaver l'chaver, nothing about anyone shuffling his feet at the end. So the Lech Mishnah points out must be that he's being somech on what he already wrote, that it's understood that somebody has to shuffle their feet, someone has to move a little bit at the end, otherwise it wouldn't work. But the Ram does mention it explicitly. Kibul es hamalei umachzer sarekan, you would take the kli that was full of blood and return the empty one. Avil ipchalo, but you wouldn't do it in the other order. You wouldn't first return the empty one and then take the full one. You're not allowed to pass over a mitzvah, so you don't give up until you have the next one ready for you. Until you, you're makabel, meaning you don't, you first have to go after the mitzvah, the dam that still needs to be in Israel, and then you can, then later you'll return the empty one. So two very important klalim we could spend hours and hours on. Brava mahadras melech and ein mavirin al mitzvahs, but we don't have hours, we don't even have seconds right now, so okay.